Arthritis Self-Help Network, or ASNET for short, is a Redbridge-based charity helping anyone suffering with one or more of the 200 types of arthritis, which can affect anyone at any age. I'm Ian Chambers, and as part of ASNET's Keeping Connected project, I met Sophie and Jay, who each developed arthritis in their 20s. In this first of two conversations, we spoke about the process of being diagnosed with arthritis. Talk us through when you were first diagnosed, when you, your symptoms appeared and you went to see the GP. What was that like?
When I first went to the doctor, I was complaining that my wrists and my hands were hurting, but I'd recently started a new job that was more computer-based. So at first, I got misdiagnosed and they said, oh, it's tendonitis, a form of repetitive strain injury from like working on the computer. But then the pain was still ongoing. And then after I went on holiday, I was on holiday for 3 weeks, the pain had gotten worse. So clearly it was nothing to do with work. So I went back to the GP and said, yeah, this has been going on for a while and it's definitely nothing to do with work because I've been on holiday for 3 weeks and the pain's actually worse than it was before. So then he asked me like if I could make my put my thumb into like thumbs up position, which I couldn't. So then he goes, okay, looks like it might be a joint problem. So he would refer me to the rheumatologist. So that's how that came about.
What about you, Sophie? What's your story?
Mine was a little bit different. So my joints were aching mainly my wrists and my shoulders, and then it started my knees and ankles. And then when I went to the doctor, I was referred straight away because I've got another autoimmune disease. They obviously just thought straight away that they were linked. So I was referred to the rheumatologist straight away when I first went.
And was that quite quick that you could
see
someone?
Yeah, mine was quite quick.
Yeah, so we've got two different kind of scenarios here. Okay, so continuing with you, Jay, so what happens next for you?
So once I saw the GP, they sent me a letter. So when you get the letter, it's like an online portal. So you get to choose like any hospital in the country, basically. You choose, but I just chose my local one because I didn't have any idea about like rheumatology departments or anything, so I just chose the closest one. And then it came up with an appointment. So I saw my doctor in December, I got the letter in January, and then my first appointment was in March, so it was about 12 weeks.
And how many hospitals, say within a reasonable driving or travel distance, were there for, to choose from?
Probably be about four or five in the local area.
But you had no idea which one to turn to?
No, so I just thought, okay, well, I'll go to the one that I can get to easier, especially at the time where I was in a lot of pain and really tired. I just thought, yes, the easiest, just go to the local one. And I'm happy I did because our rheumatologist is really great.
Yeah.
Right. So this is kind of when your two stories come together.
Yeah.
So you both met this rheumatologist. And tell me what happened next then when you had that appointment.
So I was quite lucky actually because I didn't have her first of all. So I was sent a letter through with a different doctor and then it got cancelled. And then I got another letter through saying obviously Dr. Doherty. And yeah, I'm really pleased obviously that she's our rheumatologist because she's really good.
Did you kind of hit it off straight away with her?
Yeah, like the first time that I was with her, I was in there for so long.
Right.
She went through absolutely everything, checked us over, but I was in there for a really long time and it actually seemed like she cared and she wanted to help. And that was a big thing, obviously, because we were new. We didn't know really what was happening.
So tell us about when you were diagnosed, when it was given a name, if you like. What was that like?
Well, for me, it was a bit different because similar to Sophie, at first I saw a different rheumatologist. And then he basically just said, okay, we'll start you on this medication, but before you start, you need to go to the opticians. And then once you've been to the optician and they say your eyes are okay, you can start on the medication. So I went to the opticians. I had another appointment with the rheumatology nurse. And then she said, I'm not comfortable with just giving you this medication and sending you home because your results are really not looking very good. I'll refer you to the consultants meeting. So literally the following day, that's when I got a call from Dr. Doherty and she's like, Jay, you need to come in straight away. I'm like, okay. She's like, as soon as you can get here. So I was like, all right. So I got dressed and I went and then I met her.
And was she that went quite to scary then?
Well,
the scary
my whole experience really was quite scary because before that, like I actually saw Dr. Doherty. I got a call from my GP when I was at work.
Yeah.
And she's like, Jay, where are you? I'm like, I'm at work, because I was ignoring the calls, because everyone knows, like, I don't really take calls when I'm at work.
Yeah.
So I finally answered the call, and then I was thinking, who on earth keeps ringing me? So I answered the call, and she was like, where are you? I'm like, I'm at work. She's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I'm fine. Yeah. And then she's like, okay, because I just got your blood test results. I need you to urgently go for another blood test tomorrow. Is there anyone that can pick up the form? I'm like, yeah, I'll send someone at home round, because I work evenings. So I was at work where everyone else was at home. So like the whole thing seemed like really dramatic from the medical perspective. But for me, I was so confused. Like, I've been in pain for quite a while. So I'm like, I don't understand why everyone's panicked now. But like, my blood tests were just not looking good. So that's why Dr. Doherty called me in as well straight away. And she's like, I need to send you for all of these tests.
So, well, that's brilliant. I mean, you really feel that they care.
Yeah, they really do.
You know,
care.
That they are prioritizing. Yeah. They're saying, you know, need you in here now.
Yeah.
So you went for a second blood test?
Yeah, so I went for a second blood test. My levels, I think they were stable, still very high, but they hadn't increased further. So the level that they were really concerned about was a CK level. So basically means that I had muscle enzymes leaking. So from where my immune system was attacking my muscles, it was breaking down, and you could see it in my blood. But the levels were really high. It could like affect your kidneys.
Right.
So they were really worried about that. So when I went to my doctor's surgery, she's like, okay, how did you get here? I'm like, I walked. And she's just like staring at me like I'm some kind of medical miracle. And she's like, okay, Jay, well, you seem to be doing fine. Your blood test results don't look good. But if I have to let you know, if they increase further, I'm going to have to admit you. I'm like, okay.
So it suddenly felt really serious.
Yeah, really serious. From people not taking me seriously, just like, oh no, it's just your job, it's your job, you'll be fine. To like, oh my goodness, we need to admit this girl.
And Sophie, did you have a similar point where, you know, they suddenly said, no, that this is serious? And was it similar for you?
Yeah, so I had to obviously go through lots of tests, and you have to go through so many different tests to try different medications, and they have to make sure that this level and that level is okay before you can do like take this medication. So I was a little bit similar. Obviously she checked over all my joints, that kind of stuff, but then I think straight away she knew what mine was going to be, because it's linked with my autoimmune disease, because I have inflammatory bowel disease as well. So yeah, she knew straight away that really they were probably going to be linked, and she knew straight away that obviously mine was in inflammatory arthritis, and obviously how she was going to deal with that.
Did you get a good explanation of what it was and what it meant, or did she have time to do that?
I think she did briefly. I can remember her explaining what it meant, what medication I was going to be trying, what was probably going to happen if that medication didn't work, if anything was to happen, then I was given the rheumatology nurse's number, like, which is an advice line.
Okay.
So if we ever had any worries, for me, Dr. Doherty, and I know she has for Jay as well, has given us her email address.
Right.
And she's been really good, so if we've had any concerns, we can email her, and then she'll email us back. Like I did the other day, and she emailed me back within 2 hours, and I was just like,
brilliant.
So she is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was told what it meant, and wasn't really told what was going to happen in the future, but just kind of at that moment in time, this is what we're going to do, and if it doesn't work, this is our next step. So
yeah. What was it like for you, Jay?
Well, because my condition is quite rare, and it's an overlap condition, so I've got mixed connective tissue disease, so it's got elements of like arthritis and lupus, and then I've got polymyositis as like another official diagnosis. So what she explained to me is that my immune system is attacking my joints and my muscles. That I had to have so many tests to see like to what extent, like I had to have like a CT scan and an MRI to see like exactly where I had inflammation and what was being attacked. But I think it was more focused on the actual treatment plan, like how we're going to deal with it, rather than like the what ifs, like what's going to happen to the future, or what does it mean for like the rest of your life, more like what we're going to do right now.
So did that mean you went to, say, the internet to look to find out what it's about?
Definitely.
Yeah, thought so. Okay. And
definitely probably shouldn't have, but yeah.
Was that also more scariness when you see it on the internet?
Definitely. Yep. And then on the internet, it's normally very
dramatic.
Yes, dramatic and worst case scenario on the internet. So, I looked it up, like, what's mixed connective tissue disease, what's polymyositis, what happens to people that have this. And then before I had actually seen Dr. Doherty and I went to the GP, they thought, oh, it could possibly be like rheumatoid arthritis. And so when I googled rheumatoid arthritis, the images you just see people's hands and their feet, their fingers are bending the wrong way and all of this, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is what I've got. But because obviously I'd googled all that stuff, and then I asked Dr. Doherty, so like, well, actually I've like seen all this stuff online, it says like premature death and all of this, what does it actually mean for me? And she said, well, once you get your condition stable, then long as it stays under control, you'll be fine. So that's why it's important that we keep monitoring.
That's the main aim, is to get it all under control.
Yeah.
So stable. There was that kind of period of time where they were looking to see exactly what it was, all the tests and appointments, no doubt, you had all over the place. While they try and understand, and also the severity of it, not only give it a name and what it is, but how severe and what's it mean.
So I had to have the tests as well to see if they'd already done damage to my joints, so how much damage was already. So it was MRI scan after MRI scan on like all my joints, just to see if the damage was already done.
And was there a lot of waiting between appointments, or were you able to get that all done quite quickly?
Some of it was quick, some of it was a lot longer than
I think where they like were so panicked, and where I'd like been put off for so long, I got everything so quickly. So I was like off work for a month. I had so many, so I had the MRI scan, CT scan, blood test, then they got booked in for day surgery, so I had a muscle biopsy. So I had loads of stuff done in a really, really short period of time. And then Dr. Doherty, like we keep saying, she's so amazing. Like, if she'd just call me in, like, I wouldn't have an official appointment, it would be like after a clinic was supposed to be finished.
She'd
come in for me to see her. I think initially getting diagnosed took really long, but when it started to come to like the beginning of treatment, that stuff was quite quick for me.
Did you go through feelings of, no, this isn't really happening to me? You know, really denying that it was as bad as it seemed? Did you go through those sort of feelings?
I think definitely with the whole, well, arthritis is for older people, like younger people don't get arthritis. I think that was definitely one of my main thoughts. I think when I'd done a bit of research and I realised that it comes quite hand in hand with my inflammatory bowel disease anyway, then I realised obviously that it was arthritis. And then it was kind of just a bit of, well, what am I going to do? There was a lot of what ifs. Because at that time I was 21. And I had just gone through university to become a teacher, and obviously a lot of things are going through your head. Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do that? But I think straight away I knew that it was going to be some sort of arthritis.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And for you, Jay?
I don't think I was too much in denial, because I had the pain and stuff ongoing for a while. I was Googling like what it possibly could be, and there was the tendonitis that they had said, and then I saw rheumatoid arthritis, and I was thinking, oh, I really hope it's not that, because there's no cure or whatever. So when they told me, I had sort of prepared myself for that, and I was finally happy for people to be like, well, you're not just lazy, you're always sleeping all the time, and you're just complaining that this is heavy and that you're so weak. Like, I think the diagnosis helped me to like understand why everything was happening and deal with it actually a bit better. I think getting diagnosed was a positive experience, because now I finally have a name for what's going on, and we can find a way to treat it, so I can feel more comfortable. Because there was actually a point when, like, during the diagnosis process, I just went to the doctors and I was like in tears. I was like, I'm in so much pain, I can't even like do my hair by myself, I struggle to brush my teeth, like, what's going on with me? And so she's just like, I can understand, like, you're a young person, it's a lot to deal with. And then that's when I got my first lot of like pain medication, because for all that time I was just dealing with the pain and all the symptoms. I didn't have anything to you know, to help with it.
Getting the diagnosis was like, you had an answer to the pain that you were feeling.
Yeah.
So you wasn't just feeling it kind of thing, like you were being told that actually there is a reason that you are feeling it.
Yeah. Did you go through a kind of why me? Did you think, oh, is this hereditary? Is this something I've done? Did you go through that, those feelings as well?
Yes, I definitely do. I still get those moments, like, up until today. Like, if I'm feeling really bad, I just think, why me? Of all the people in all the world, why me? So I think that's exactly.
Yeah, what did I do? just track back. Did I do something?
Yeah. So I think that's ongoing. You do get those, like, why me moments, because obviously we got diagnosed quite young, and this is something we'll have to deal with for the rest of our lives. So you do get those low points where you do think, oh my, why me of all people? But like Sophie said, I think the diagnosis does help you, like, get an answer, and now at least you have an idea of what you can do moving forward and how you can deal mm-hmm. with your condition.
Yeah.
And had you known people with arthritis, either of you?
No, like, I just thought, yeah, not it was older people. No. Older people. And I only knew of, like, osteoarthritis. Like, I didn't know there was, like, a immune response that could be rheumatoid mm-hmm. arthritis. I never knew anything about that.
Right.
Yeah. But with the why me thing, definitely it's just, you do have days where you think, why me? Why is this happening to me? But, yeah, you'll have low days, but obviously there's other days where you can fight it better.
So talk me through the treatment, the medication you, and, you know, side effects, and what was that all about? Have you tried everything in known to man out there?
So I've tried quite a few different medications. My first one that they offered me was steroids. Obviously they turned around and said the side effects of steroids is that you're probably going to put on weight. And obviously, as a 21-year-old girl, I was like, okay. And then I had to have steroid injections as well, which, again, Dr. Totti didn't really want me to have, because she knew there was the side effects were going to be the putting on weight, that kind of stuff, mood swings, tiredness. I've tried quite a few different medications where the side effects have become quite bad, where I've had to stop. So the usual things like nausea, feeling sick. I had one where literally I just had the worst heartburn, indigestion, and they thought it was like close to getting pancreatitis. Like it was, but my recent one was mouth ulcers, blistering on the inside of my mouth, on my tongue. But obviously it's different for everyone. Some people will find medication that works for them quite early on, some people it'll take a little bit longer, but the steroids have worked well for me. It's just trying to get something that will deal with the other little aspects of my joint pain and stuff like that now.
And do you have normal, like, painkillers as well? So if you're having a particularly bad day, you reach for the painkillers on top of...
Yeah, you can take other painkillers, yeah.
Okay, what about for you?
So yeah, same as Sophie. Most of my treatments worked quite well. So initially, after I had the muscle biopsy, I couldn't take any medication because they didn't want anything to interfere with the results from all the tests I was having. So as soon as I did the muscle biopsy, I was allowed to start on steroids, and I started on a really high dose, so that meant the side effects were at its worst. So I had insomnia. I could only sleep for 2 hours at a time.
Oh gosh.
Then after I started to reduce my dose, then I could sleep for a bit longer, so maybe like four or five hours, but then I'd wake up with insane hunger. So I was just like wanting to eat.
I forgot about eating, wanting to eat everything. I forgot about that. How can I forget about that one? Wanting to eat everything.
Yeah, you just want to eat everything.
That's the putting weight on part.
So you just want to eat everything in sight. Right. And then, like, when I started, so between, like, the condition and me being so tired, I didn't want to eat, I'd rather just sleep, and the condition was attacking my muscles, so I was losing muscle mass. I got really, really, really slim. So now I've, like, ballooned, so I'm, like, so much bigger. But then, so I get down about that as well, but now I can at least do my hair myself, and I can do things without struggling. So then that's what I have to just put into perspective, like, yeah, okay, you have to buy bigger jeans, but you can function on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
But, so, and then I think when I first started, excuse my pronunciation of all these medications, when I first started as a thiopurine, I did have a little bit of hair loss, but it was just, like, at the front and the edges.
That's the one that gave me bad heartburn.
Yeah, so so that's the only thing, but I'm still on that now. I haven't really had any terrible side effects with that. A little bit of nausea at first, but now I think my body's got used to it. the steroids was like what Sophie said, the mood swings, the hunger, the insomnia. But now I'm on a way lower dose. I don't really seem to have side effects apart from
sweating, night sweats.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, night sweats. Like literally, it would be so bad that my boyfriend would like wake me up and wipe me down with a towel.
Oh,
and my like my night clothes were sodden. Like the sweats were so bad. And I used to get like hot flashes. So we were out for my mum's birthday dinner, and it was in October, and I was just like burning up. I went outside like no coat, I had a sleeveless top, and I was still like burning up. So
I'm always like that on the train. Sweating.
So do you spend your lives kind of measuring, looking for all these things, you know, am I losing hair, am I putting on weight, am I, you know, all these different things?
But we can laugh about it.
Yeah.
Like we've learned to.
Yeah, you just do like,
just
take
it
in
part
stride.
And parcel
yeah.
of
yeah,
of
it's life now. Yeah.
So I've only had one bad reaction where, like, literally the first day I took the medication is to like prevent osteoporosis, because long-term use of steroids, it can damage your bones. So the first drug they put me on, I think it was alendronic acid, that I just came up in a rash. It was like little white pimples. I was just covered in them. So I just stopped that immediately after like my first dose. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I haven't had any terrible, like, unbearable side effects, so I had to stop medications. That was the only one.
My thanks to Sophie and Jay for sharing their story, and to Asnet for their ongoing support. I'm Ian Chambers. Please join us for our second conversation soon. You can contact Asnet through their website, arthritis-selfhelp.org. Thanks for listening.